Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit, Father, come forward to guide us, to give us greater knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of knowing the Word and the wisdom to use it rightly and to be able to teach it according to your will and your way. Father, I pray that those that are with us will always have their Bible so they can follow along to see that the things that we teach are yours and not mine. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of Galatians this evening, and beginning here with verse 1, it says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you shall, that ye also have a master in heaven." You know, we don't really stop and think most of the time about those that we will are to do something, or we don't think about those that has hired us and how to treat. You see, when we have someone doing something for us, we need to treat them just and equal, because we also have a master. He's in heaven. But we want him to be just and fair with us, don't we? And if that's really what we want and believe him to be that way and to do it, then that's the way we are to be treating those that work for us. We can't live one way and expect God to treat us differently, because we're warned about it. He started out right there with letting you and I know how to treat those. Now here in 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we know that thanksgiving is to be done in Jesus' name. But he's telling us to continue in prayer, letting you and I know that we are supposed to persevere in prayer, to hold on to it, to hold steady. And we are to be alert. We are to walk in spiritual sensitivity. For the needs of those pray for us and those that are in need. You have to be mindful. And when you do pray, do you do it with your mind alert, or is it just something you do because you think you have to? It's not really because you want to, but it's because you think you have to. Well, we do it that way, we're doing it the wrong way. Now, verse 3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. As he ought to speak. Paul's a good teacher. And Paul teaches here mostly clear, because his teaching and his writing is actually the same that he preaches in the church that's given him by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the test. Paul kind of turns from his responsibilities for evangelism to the Colossian churches And he's doing so to make the most of every opportunity. And he's asking them, letting them know, just as he's letting you and I know, that we are to seize each opportunity to display wise behavior toward the unsaved and to use it as a chance to witness to them. Every opportunity we get. I had an appointment today. With the doctor's office. Well, I didn't see the doctor, which I usually never do. It was with a nurse practitioner. We spent about 15 minutes before she even got started on anything medically with me, because I was sharing things of the gospel with her. And she was listening. And she has promised to attend a service. Now, in 6, he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. In other words, that is actually characterized by wisdom. Or to use gracious, wise conversations. And that will let you and I to be able to share the gospel in truth with them. And will also let you and I always speak truth when we are sharing the gospel with anyone. Now, 7. All my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. You see, Tychicus was one of his faithful ministers and a fellow servant to the Lord. And he's wanting, he's describing them and letting the close church there know and understand to accept him as their pastor and letting them know his approval of him and that he is what he will be before them. He's not going to change. He'll always stand the truth of God. The church will be able to accept him in his ministry because he will, just as Paul has to do, he will always have to deal with heresy because of those that are following Paul and the others and trying to cut them down and to pull their ministry down and drag the people out from under teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and back in under the law. Now, Paul goes on in 8 and says, he's still talking here about Tychicus. He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. You see, we as pastors and ministers of the gospel, we are to stand in and on the truth of the word, but we are to do it in love. Because when we don't speak with love and we're walking just with authority, we're not going to make much headway with mankind because he's always just looking for an excuse to turn away from us to start with. Now, 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. He's saying that Onesimus is one of them. And Paul is actually hoping that along with the letter, that they will accept them as they should and as he wants them to do. Now, 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receiving. He's letting them know that Marcus will probably visit with them sometime in the future. And he's wanting them to know to receive him because he is one of them and a fellow minister of the gospel. 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. He's identified these two, Justice, which is a Jewish Christian, and he is of those that's been converted to Christ. And he's talking about that those three are known that have been Paul's fellow workers in the ministry. And they're Jews. You see, this church at Colossus, it's not Jewish. It's Gentile. And he's letting them know that these others are what they should be. Now, who is one of you? Now, he's one, he's not a Jew. He's a gentleman. A servant of Christ salutes you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. As one of them, one of their own, a Gentile, doesn't mean he's from Colossae, but he is a Gentile. And Paul is letting them know he's always got them in his prayer and praying for them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. 13. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you, for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Now, you know, you see, those he's sending there, not only labored in the Colossian assembly, but they also were in the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And those cities were 6 miles apart and 12 miles from Colossae. So they had quite a bit of traveling to do. And back then, most of their traveling was done by walking or by riding, mainly mules. But they didn't have an easy way of traveling like we have today. And then we still want to holler. We may have a mile, mile and a half to go, and we've got nice, fine cars to go in, and we want to continually complain and groan about going. 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Well, we know, we all know, that the Apostle Luke was a physician, yes. Now, and Demas, he says, greet you. All right, now we're going to 15. 15 says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nicus, and the church which is in his house. You see, back then, their churches and all were put mainly where they could find empty spaces or space to hold, be able to hold them. And they were in several homes, which is where mine's at now, in my home. And I thank God for the internet. Now, 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. He's wanting each one of them to read to the other one the epistle that was wrote to them. Because he's wanting them to know Paul is not changeable. They're all going to hear basically the same truths. Now, we do know that some are longer than others because more was going on and there had to be more things involved. And boy, today, within our church world, I would hate to stop and have to go over all of the different things that are going on today. I'm speaking about in the church. We've grown to the point, church-wise, that for the most part, they have grown weak and weaker by the year and let other things in that should never have been accepted and let through the door. But Satan managed to get it done. You can say, oh no. No, no, our churches wouldn't allow that. They did. We've got them right now that are allowing pastors that are living in adultery to be behind their pulpit. No adulterer is going to heaven. The word tells us that. And God's not going to work through that one. Now, if they could get him to get out of that adultery and go to the Lord Jesus Christ and get forgiveness, repent and get forgiveness, then he just might make heaven his home. But as long as he is living in adultery, no, it won't work. We're told this. In fact, I was just reading it some last evening. Then they came along and they have accepted heterosexual as just another lifestyle. And they have accepted that into the church. Not every church, but most. We still have some good churches out there. But they are few and they are far between. Now, for the most part, they teach too much that is contrary to the Word of God. They've let abortion into a lot of them. as a woman's choice. It's not her choice. Only God has that right. Now, we've got the gay and lesbians now walking our streets with loud voices proclaiming to all that's around, we're here, we're gay, we're after your children. And men are riding naked on bicycles. And they're not doing one thing about it. And you're not hearing too many of the churches saying anything against it. But I'm here to tell you, unless some in that bunch will repent and turn from their evil ways, they're all going to wind up in hell, in that lake of fire. And that's God's word, not mine. Now, we've got two more verses that will be at the end of Colossians 17 and 18. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You see, as ministers of the gospel, that minister is to fulfill God's word, not man's. He's not there to tickle ears and to make people smile all the time. He's there to give them the truth of God's word and let them know these things are wrong and what things are right and how to get right with God. 18. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. We know that Paul spent a lot of time in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, on and on. All kinds. He was always in peril. All to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to get it out to help others. Our next book we'll be going into is the First Epistle of Thessalonians. That will be our next one. So let us remember. And you know, if you have a time set aside at your house to where you like to read your Bible, besides this service, read these chapters that I give you. Reread them. I want you to know that what you are getting is the word of Almighty God. It's not mine. That's why the Lord has me teaching. Book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And right now we're going through the entire Bible. On Monday and Tuesday, we're in the Old Testament, and Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, we're in the New Testament. We've already been through the four Gospels. And we've been through Revelation. Now, I may take a Wednesday for a couple of weeks, and we may reread Revelation, because very few has very much understanding of it. But I want to get a little further in the Old Testament and in the New to give you more of and about the book of Revelation. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we do thank you for this word, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit that has been sent to us to give us a greater understanding of your word and, Father, to give us the tools that we need in order to teach your word and to live your word, because in order to teach it and to teach it right, Father, we have to live it. Bring it into our lives and then bring it to life so others can see it. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate this evening to go different directions, keep us all in health, safe, and Father, we do love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love the Holy Spirit. And Father, I love your word. I love teaching your word. Now, Father, I pray for those that are standing in sickness, pain, and I'm asking for that healing power to touch upon each one of them. You know, we are told in your word that we are healed by his stripes, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore them so that we could have the healing that we need, Father, as we go through this life. And we praise him for that, being willing to take that punishment off of us and onto himself. Father, Israel and Jerusalem, to have peace, because we know, Father, that right now we're not having any peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will become known one day as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has walked away, it walked away, Father, from your blessings. It walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trying to walk away from your church and your people. Father, we pray that this does not happen. in this land. That we can all come together. All of your people come together to remove from office those, Father, that has brought this evil upon this land, and to replace them with ones who will love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, and work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, keep us all through the night. Let us raise in the morning early enough, Father, to get around and have a little prayer and come together again in the study of your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, be with us now. We ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great night. God bless. God willing, we can be together in the morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.